I also appreciate the opportunity to speak to you all this evening. For just a few minutes, I'd like to make a few observations on the topic of social drinking. We'll go ahead and define that in just a moment. First of all, I'd like to say why I think this is a study that we need to engage in every once in a while. First of all, I think drinking alcohol is one of the most common worldly temptations that we all face. Our society is permeated with the use of alcohol and the advertisement of alcoholic beverages, and they're available and accessible to just about everyone everywhere. They're also accepted as a behavior that is allowable for even the Christian to engage in by the world and by many denominations. And for this reason, we are all often tempted, regardless of our age or our station in life or our job or whatever, to engage in drinking alcoholic beverages. Another reason why I think it's important to study from time to time on this is because I think that this is one of the behaviors that is seeking a foothold in the church today. You know, 20 or 30 years ago, if you ask a member of the church what he thought about social drinking, he'd say absolutely not. Case closed. There wouldn't be much discussion about it. But today, even in the church, there are those who would suggest that, well, the Bible does condemn drunkenness and we can't get drunk, but I don't see anything wrong with having a few drinks. Okay, what is social drinking? I'd like to illustrate this on the board. If they continue here. At this end, taking the first drink, the second drink, the third drink, and so on. Moving down here toward an area here that we'll call total drunkenness. This area is not what we're talking about tonight. If we were, all we need to do is go to several passages such as 1 Corinthians 5:11, 6:10, and 1 Thessalonians 5:7, Romans 13:13, and others that you know of that condemn drunkenness. Also, there's an area here at the beginning that we'll call medicinal use. Take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Alcohol used in cough syrups and medicines. We're not talking about this area either. There's a large area right here in the middle that we'll call social drinking, and that's what we're talking about tonight. I'd like to define this even more. I've got some information from the American Medical Association. They make a pamphlet for the State Highway Patrol in which they describe the effects on the body of different levels of alcohol in the system. Even right here after the first drink in a 0.035% alcohol in the bloodstream, that's the first drink, maybe the second drink, depending on a person's weight. At this point, there is already judgment and visual perception being impaired, as well as a low tolerance for glare. And just a little higher after the second or third drink, 0.05% alcohol in the blood, definite impairment of muscular performance and reaction time. And then on down here just a little farther, 0.01%, you're considered legally drunk and off to jail if you're caught on the road with that much alcohol in your system. So what we're talking about as far as behavior is the cocktail party, the light drinking with friends at a restaurant, mixed drinks being served at a wedding reception, and this type of thing. Teenagers getting together with a six-pack after a football game, that sort of thing. What I'd like to do is look at some scriptures that describe what godly behavior is and what ungodly behavior is and determine tonight which category social drinking falls into.
We'll put godly behavior over here and ungodly on this side. I think we can see by the end of the study where this fits in. The first scripture I'd like to look at is Colossians 3:5-12.
beginning in verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality.
I'll just abbreviate these. Impurity, passion, evil desire, greed,
which amounts to idolatry, down in verse 8, but now you also put them all aside, anger,
wrath, malice, abusive speech from your mouth.
And in verse 10, and have put on the new man who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Down in verse 12, it continues, and so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy,
beloved, having a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience.
Now, as we go through, determine which category you believe that the social drinking falls into. We're going to look at several other scriptures here. The next one is Galatians 5, 19 through 23. In verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, which you already have here, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, outbursts of anger, jealousy, strife, verse 21, envyings, drunkenness, carousings, disputes, dissensions, factions, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and this one I like, self-control. I would suggest tonight that as the person who is drinking, moving through this way toward drunkenness, one drink after another, is moving away from self-control instead of toward self-control. Let's look at some more. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of
good repute.
Whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things.
Now we have to ask ourselves, as a person engages in social drinking, as they move through this, drinking one drink after another, are they moving toward having a good reputation or away from it?
Let's look at another one, Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And down 13, therefore take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm.
We're to put on the armor of God.
What does that entail? In verse 14, Stand firm, therefore, and having girded your loins with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're to put on the armor of God. As a person goes through this process of drinking, he becomes more drunk as he moves toward total drunkenness. I would suggest that as a person does that, instead of putting on the armor of God, he's taking off the armor of God. As a person takes one drink after another in the section of social drinking here, he begins to think and do things that he normally wouldn't do. Alcohol causes you to put your guard down and do and say things that aren't common to your normal behavior. In other words, as a person takes drinks, they are dropping the sword of the Spirit, removing the helmet of salvation, removing the breastplate of righteousness, and putting them on. We're moving away from the armor of God because alcohol helps us to take it off. Let's look at another verse, Titus 2, 4 through 8. Now, in the first three verses, it's talking to older women, and then the verses we're going to talk about talk to the young men and women, starting in verse 4, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. We could list all these things over here. And in verse 6, it talks to the young men. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds. The effect of alcohol is again going to move us away from good deeds and toward evil deeds. Many times with the consumption of alcohol at parties is related to dancing. One's more likely to go off and dance with another person's spouse. He's more likely to listen to and pass on dirty jokes and this sort of thing. I think it's obvious that alcohol cannot move us toward good deeds but away from it. I think even with what we've got on here already, we can see that what alcohol does to a person, even in this area of social drinking, moves us away from the attributes that God wants us to have, but toward these attributes. But there are some that even still would rationalize that, well, the Bible condemns drunkenness. It doesn't just come right out and say to me, thou shalt not have a couple of beers. I think there's one more passage we can look at that will really help us nail this down for good. 1 Peter 4:3. In 1 Peter 4:3 it says, and I'm reading from the New American Standard, "For the time has already passed is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousals, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." Now, if you have the King James Version, it may say banquetings there, where I read drinking parties. And back when that was translated in the 1600s, that's what the Greek meant, banquetings. That's what it was. Drinking parties was banquetings. We use banquet a little bit different these days, and so the translations into modern English take the Greek and translate it directly, drinking parties. And this is different from the total drunkenness that we talked about earlier, because drunkenness is identified also in this passage. It's something separate. As a matter of fact, there's drinking parties, which is social drinking, carousals, and then drunkenness. Carousals being a level of drinking that causes one to engage in other sins also. So all three are condemned in this verse, and I think this really nails down for us whether or not we can engage in social drinking. In conclusion on this topic, I'd just like to say also that engaging in this type of drinking, light drinking, ruins our credibility as Christians. We're not only supposed to save ourselves and get to heaven when we die, but we're to be good examples before others and try to take as many people with us as we can. I was talking to Brother Pugh about this topic last Sunday when he asked me to speak, and we were talking about it, and he said, well, can you imagine if my daughter had some of her friends over to the house and for a get-together, and one of them went to throw something out in the trash, and they saw a bunch of beer cans there that belonged to me. He said, my credibility with them as an elder would be totally shot. He wouldn't be able to have any effect on them from that time on. I'd like to read one more verse along this line, Romans 14, 22. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. The last sentence here, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Even if we take a position of, well, I don't engage in drinking, but I really can't condemn anyone for it. I don't see where the Bible says that it's wrong to engage in alcoholic beverages. Actually, what we're doing is we are giving our approval to it, and in our approving of it, we condemn ourselves. The last thing I'd like to say is that in the end, this is an individual matter. When we stand before God, we're going to give an account of the deeds done in the flesh. And I don't believe that we can stand before him and rationalize that this kind of behavior belongs down in these attributes that he expects of us. As a matter of fact, I think it's impossible. Thank you.